Okay, here we go. It's In Heavenly Places, and it's for October 24th, of course, for today, page 304 if you have the book. And it's, this is the title. It says, The Bible Rules for Giving, for and then giving. Not forgiving, but yeah, there's forgiving information in the Bible, yeah, but this one's about giving. All right, so it goes on. It says, well, she starts off with Deuteronomy 16, verse 17. It says, Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. And there's a lot of, and some SDA preachers are doing this too now, with their ex-SDA, of course, because the SDA church doesn't preach this. But they're going out there saying that the New Testament does not have any statements in it regarding tithing, when in fact it does. Paul talks about it. But a lot of them will also come up with the theology that tithing is Old Testament. And but that only shows how weak their theological foundation really is, because they do this. Some people do the same thing when it comes to the law of God. They says, "Oh, the law was abolished at the cross." They mix the law contained in ordinances with the law contained in stone, and don't understand the differences between the two. And then they think because it says Old Testament, because mankind came up with that idea, it's actually Old Covenant, and then New Covenant. It doesn't nullify that which was written in the old except for the fruition or the prophetic fulfillment of the ceremonial laws that Colossians 2 goes into detail about, which happened at the cross of Christ. Everything else is still valid to this day, hence the homosexual thing. People say, oh, that's Old Testament theology in Leviticus and stuff like that. Well, there's also an awful lot of stuff in the New Testament, but they always seem to like forget about that. But they still say it's Old Testament. And what they all fail to realize, and here, I love doing this and catching these guys. It's kind of like you could see it like a deer in the headlights when you hit them with this. I says, okay, so what you're saying is you preach specifically and only from the New Testament. Oh, no, I use the Old Testament. Well, hold on. You can't. If you're considering it Old Testament completely, you have to throw it all away. And so, but occasionally you'll get a guy who says, yeah, I only preach New Testament at all. I says, okay, let me ask you this. Who wrote the New Testament? And they usually say, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, you know, Timothy. And I says, yeah, but who inspired them? Isn't it the same one that inspired those who wrote the old? And what Bible did the New Testament authors use? Yeah. I mean, the only Bible they had was the Torah, for that matter. I mean, most of the Jews, well, actually all the Jews in them days, for the overwhelming majority, didn't even trust Daniel. They thought he was a false prophet because of the things that he said in regards to their probation ending. Well, it's the same reason why you don't see Ellen White's books in any of the, you know, Christian, so-called Christian bookstores of today. They hate her books just like the Jews hated Daniel's, and for the exact same reasons. You put Ellen White in a bookstore today, in a, you know, a Christian bookstore today, they'll have to remove guys like Pat Robertson or Joe Osteen or Hal Lindsey or any of these SDA guys. I mean, all of these, everybody would have to be pulled off the shelf because she exposes every single solitary one of their theologies as bogus. And so they keep her off. And of course, it looks like hate speech because she's proven everybody wrong. And that's why they call us hateful, because we're just using a Bible. So what are you going to do? Anyway, she goes on. A beautiful illustration of that spirit of love and self-sacrifice with the grace of Christ implants in the heart is given in the experience of the Macedonian Christians. The Apostle Paul writes of them. In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy in their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Not tithing, by the way. Although some people will take that out of context and say liberality means tithing. To try to sanction Sunday keeping. When he came around on the first day of the week to pick up their liberality, he says, oh, look, he's picking up tithes. No, he wasn't. And even if he was, he doesn't do business on the real Sabbath. And so that's why he showed up on Sunday. But, you know, I go into that in my seven reasons. You know, that page on my website says, is Sunday the Christian Sabbath? And I made it into a video, of course. But anyway, she goes on using 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2 to 5. And it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And Sister White says, and wherever the Spirit of Christ abides, the same fruits will be manifested. in the Bible system of tithes and offerings, the amounts paid by different persons will, of course, vary greatly since they are proportioned to the income. With the poor man, the tithe will be comparatively a small sum, and his gifts will be according to his ability. So now there's two things there she's mentioning here. She's not saying that he's going to tithe small. He's going to tithe 10%. It's just that his income is small. But his gifts will be according to his ability as well, which means tithe and love. You know, like a tithe is 10%. You can give a dollar for a love offering, or you can give a double tithe. I mean, it just depends on the person, okay? So she goes on. But it is not the greatness of the gift that makes the offering acceptable to God. It is the purpose of the heart, the spirit of the gratitude and the love that it expresses. For example, and she'll probably go into, maybe she'll go into this, but the woman with the two pennies, you know, she throws them in there and everybody else is dumping all sorts of coins in there. And she comes up and she drops in those two little pennies. And Jesus was more impressed with her than anybody else because she gave everything she had. And these guys just gave from their abundance. So going on. It goes on, it says, let not the poor feel that their gifts are so small as to be unworthy of notice. Let them give according to their ability, feeling that they are servants of God and that he will accept their offering. And here's another thing, too, especially if you help in the work. The Lord will make sure you have the money for the work. You know, somehow, some way, he'll, you know, give you that what you need on a monthly basis to help with whatever you're, you know, doing for the Lord. You know, whether it's, the tithing always has a specific place to go. That's for the minister and the minister alone. But the love offerings can go anywhere. You know, I mean, it could go to the minister with instructions on here, sending it there, sending it here, sending it wherever. Or you can do love offerings on your own. You could even help your neighbor with a love offering. Now, you can't go out and use the tithe to buy books or to buy tracts and hand those out. No, that's a love offering. All I got a page on the website that explains the tithe. If you want to understand the differences between the two, please check out that page on the site. It's in the Bible Truth section. I think it's in the Milky area. In other words, let me see if I go to the site real quick. I forget where I put all this stuff on these menus. It was just, all right. So yeah, Bible Truth, scroll down to Milky Truth, and then yeah, there. Then it says the tithe, and it's in there. Now, Milky. The reason I say Milky Truth, it's easy to understand. A babe in Christ understands the tithe. And there is a reason there's a movement out there, especially in ex-SDAs. These guys, some of these guys are Sabbath keepers telling people they should not send any tithing in at all. And they take all these Bible verses out of context to try to prove it. And they've even approached, they seem to approach me on a regular basis. At least once or twice a year, I get somebody that sends a book or a DVD to say, oh, what I'm doing is wrong or whatever. I says, yeah, well, if you put the Bible verses back in context, maybe they would make a little more sense. But they're doing it to destroy the work. If the devil can prevent the tithe from getting to the ministers who have no 9-to-5 job, that's why Paul says he lives of the gospel. In other words, that's why what comes in on a weekly basis, it's never the same. It's up and down, it's up and down, because we never know from one week to the next what the tithe is or what's going to come in. And so anyway, I don't want to get into all that. It's a faith walk, and I praise God for it, too, because it helps you grow. So she goes on, the one to whom God has entrusted a large capital will not, if he loves and fears God, find it a burden to meet the demands of an enlightened conscience according to the claims of God. The rich will be tempted to indulge in selfishness and avarice and to withhold from the Lord his own, but he who is true to God will, when tempted, answer to Satan, it is written, will a man rob God? Amen. Okay, now, it's not considered robbing God if you don't really do a big, heavy-duty kind of love offering. But if you don't tithe, yes, you're robbing God. Because he gave you 100%, he gives you 100% of your money, knowing you're supposed to give back 10%. It's just a test. That's all it is. He's just saying, okay, I'm going to give you 100 bucks this week, but I'm going to expect you to give back 10 for the work, you know, to the minister that feeds you spiritually. And scripturally and, you know, doctrinally or whatever. And if you don't, you're robbing God. And then he'll send somebody else to send it. And that's why some people give a little bit more in love offerings and stuff like that, because the other people that are disobedient, nothing you can do about it. Hey, wait, hold on. I was reading things. Yeah, it's going to be come from the Adventist believers, Sayum. Okay, yeah, thanks, Alex. Send them, there's a page on my website about the 144,000, and it links out to three or four sermons. I did a sermon series on it, too, about the 144,000. And what she's talking about, she's not talking about Seventh-day Adventists. Please don't misunderstand Sister White there. She is not talking about Seventh-day Adventists. She's talking about obedient Christians. She just happened to call them Seventh-day or Adventist at that. An Adventist can be anybody, actually. Anybody that believes in the Second Coming is an Adventist. So, yeah, the ones who keep the commands of God and the faith of Jesus. The Seventh-day Adventist church today is not the Seventh-day Adventist church of Ellen White's day. They changed the church internally. That way, when the loud cry happens, and that way, when the shaking happens, it looks like the Seventh-day Adventist church is not being affected. In other words, when the people leave the Seventh-day Adventist church, the lying pastors say, hey, look, they left because they were shaken out. No, the people that are shaken out are the ones that stay in the Seventh-day Adventist church. Because the Seventh-day Adventist church is no longer a Christian church. It's a Roman Catholic church now. And we have gobs of evidence to support that on sdaapostasy.org. Pictures, videos, sermons, statements, documents from the Seventh-day Adventist Church General Conference. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much they have bowed to Rome. I mean, some of those pictures will floor you. And then Brother Craig did a whole mess of videos, and they're all on that site, too. So anyway, finishing it up, it says here, those who keep eternal realities in view, who love the Lord with all the heart and soul and strength and their neighbor as themselves, will conscientiously do their whole duty as if the curtain were rolled back and they could see that they were working in view of the heavenly universe. All who possess the Spirit of Christ will with cheerful alacrity press the gifts into the Lord's treasury. There's a new one. Guess what I'm doing? All right, so let me get alacrity. Maybe I'm mispronouncing that, but I'm going to go to dictionary.com. Let's type this into dictionary.com and see what alacrity, maybe alacrity. Okay, let's see what it says here. Okay, let's see how it's pronounced. And it's only from Britain, too, by the way, so let's see.
Alacrity.
Wow, too loud, okay.
Alacrity.
There you go. Cheerful, willingness, eagerness, speed, or quickness. All right, so that's good. Yeah, and this woman only had a third-grade education. She comes up with some $20 words just like the Scriptures does, and it just shows the Spirit of God upon her. She uses the same rabbinic code that the prophets of old did, and the rabbinic code is just the style of God's writing, which means he's the one with his hand on her pen. So, I hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.